हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमहाविद्विषावहैः ओम् शान्तिः 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 ज्ञान विज्ञान योगो नाम सप्तमोऽध्यायः एक्चुअली कम्प्लीटेड दिस चैप्टर एंड आई जस्ट गिव समरी ऑफ दिस चैप्टर आई मेड इट वेरी क्लियर दैट भगवान हियर डिस्कसेस थ्री इंपॉर्टेंट एस्पेक्ट्स वन इज ईश्वर स्वरूपम भगवतः स्वरूपम व्हाट भगवान इज हु भगवान इज एसेंशियली देन इट इज भगवत स्वरूपम देन भगवद अनुग्रह और कृपा ईश्वर कृपा और ईश्वर अनुग्रह देयर इज ग्रेस ऑफ भगवान इज सेकंड टॉपिक डिस्कस्ड द थर्ड टॉपिक is meditation as a preparatory discipline for mental steadiness. These are the three topics discussed, in fact, in all the six chapters from 6th to the 12th, the 7th to the 13th, 12th. But still, Bhagavan introduces the top subject matter of this chapter also in the very beginning, in first three chapters, the first three verses. Then afterwards, he says, Ishwaraha, the Lord, the God, is of two inseparable aspects, inseparable natures, higher and the lower, called Para Prakritihi and Apara Prakritihi. Para Prakritihi is actually nothing but the abstract formless reality in terms of pure knowledge, pure consciousness. Then Apara Prakritihi is matter. And both these Para and Apara Prakritis have some certain things, common features. They also have uncommon features. What is common is anapara prakritihi are two inseparable aspects which constitute Ishvara are beginningless. They both have no end, no beginning. It's a common feature. But para prakritihi is of the nature of changelessness, whereas apara prakritihi is subject to change. That's the difference. Therefore, and these two prakritis alone manifest is in the form of the whole universe. The whole cosmos is actually the manifestation of these two inseparable aspects which constitute the Lord. Therefore, the whole cosmos is the Lord. So, apara prakriti is in the form of all forms, names and functions, and para prakriti is in the form of the very essential nature of everything. Therefore, we can say, that's why the whole universe is always looked upon as the Lord, who is inseparable, intelligent and material causes of the universe. And personified alone, we have Shiva and Parvati. Okay, we have seen that. Then, after discussing these twofold aspects of Para, Ishvara, twofold aspects which constitute Ishvara, Para and Apara Prakritis. Then from the 13th verse onwards, I said, Bhagavan discusses the samsara karanam, the cause of samsara. And there he makes it very clear what causes the samsara, really speaking. It is this maya, power of reality, alone in of samsara karanam. And this, that's why when you say maya, the apara prakritihi is maya. Samsara karanam means what? It need not be destroyed. If you understand what this maya is, then samsara will be resolved. Understanding what maya is in fact understanding apara prakritihi. Understanding apara prakriti is what? Resolving the maya in its own truth, and which will help, then samsara also will resolve along with that. Samsara karanam also is discussed in those verses elaborately. And this samsara, the description of samsara and the solution, what is solution here? Only understanding what Ishvara is, what para prakriti is, what apara prakriti is, and to understand as a methodology used in the Shastram. Once you understand these two, four prakritis of Ishvara, we understand what is higher nature, what is inferior nature, then the samsara will resolve. So understanding Ishvara, understanding twofold aspects of Ishvara, thereby resolving everything that the individual and the total in Ishvara. You resolve the individual, total, microcosmic being, macrocosmic being, the Jiva and Ishvara, these two different divisions, consciousness, matter, divisions, if you resolve in Ishvara as a whole, then your maya is resolved, then samsara also will be resolved. Therefore, Bhagavan discusses that afterwards, even in that context, Bhagavan says, understanding of Ishvara, he calls it as what? Jnana Bhaktihi. So by way of answering, in fact, indirectly Bhagavan answers this question, is devotion a means of attainment of moksha? Is devotion a means of attainment of moksha? There, so of course, devotion is a means of attainment of moksha. But what is that devotion? The Bhagavan makes it very clear, bhaktihi. Bhaktihi is not a separate path. And bhakti, there's no such a thing called separate path. Bhakti is a common element for anybody. In fact, only when you first understand these two aspects of Bhagavan, understand what Ishvara is, understanding Bhagavan is the exalted form of devotion. Have been endowed with the knowledge of who the Lord is the exalted form of devotion, Jnana Bhaktihi. And until Jnanam takes place, it is aspiration to know Bhagavan. It is Jignasu Bhaktihi. Jignasu Bhaktihi is real devotion. And the real devotion is possible only if a person knows the value of knowledge of the Lord. And one can understand the value of the knowledge of the Lord only when understands the benefit what one is going to attain by understanding Bhagavan. If a person understands the moksha being the ultimate end, the jnanam being the only means, then person understands the value of knowledge, then one can become committed to the pursuit of knowledge, then that commitment to the pursuit of knowledge, thereby aspiring for jnanam makes a person a real devotee. So that is where devotion is. Otherwise, a person seeks Bhagavan's grace, being religious, highly being worshipful and prayerful. Any devotee, anybody who and seeks Bhagavan's grace for success, being for his success in accomplishing artha kamas, he is a devotee as well, but he is arthi bhaktaha, he is simple devotee. Then the person who worships Bhagavan, prays to Bhagavan, seeks Bhagavan's help only when he is in trouble, such a person, there's no purushartha nischaya, there's no clear end knowledge of the end being moksha. There's no clear understanding of the importance of the knowledge. Therefore, there's no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. But simply, a person, emotionally, when he feels shattered, and he seeks Bhagavan's grace to sort out his problems in life, day-to-day problems in life, such a devotee is also a simple devotee. It's called Artha Bhaktaha. Artha Bhaktaha, the distressed devotee who prays to Bhagavan only when he is in distress. And Hachit Devotee is what? Bhagavan Krishna says, all devotees are really fortunate people, really Sukritinaha, they have some punyam. But still, the real devotee is the one who wants to know Bhagavan. And the exalt of the devotees is the one who has understood Bhagavan, understood the Lord. Why he is exalted? Because for a wise person who has understood the Lord, understood Ishvara's twofold natures. And for him, his, the consciousness, para prakriti of Ishvara is one's own self. In fact, there's nothing which is not Ishvara for him. And the known is apara prakriti, knower is para prakriti, the knower known, both divisions, these divisions, knower known division is resolved in Ishvara, the whole. The very self, the I, the truth of an individual itself is Bhagavan. Therefore, and he is exalted among of the devotees. Therefore, bhakti on a common path, Bhagavan makes it very clear. So understanding Bhagavan is the only means of resolving the samsara, freeing oneself from bondage of samsara. So understanding Bhagavan implies what? Attainment of knowledge of Ishvara is actually attainment of knowledge of one's own self. So Ishvara Swarupa Jnanam is in fact Atma Swarupa Jnanam, and if this Jnanam helps one resolve Maya, thereby Maya cause samsara also. So Bhagavan talks about the how bhakti, exalted form of bhakti is jnanam, knowledge, attainment of knowledge, and that knowledge being the only solution for resolve, freeing oneself from bondage of samsara. And that is discussed from, I said, told you, from verse number 13 to the 19. Thereafter, I think this much I told last class. Now, verse from the verse number 620 to 26. In these seven verses, Bhagavan actually discusses further about bhakti only. And there he makes it very clear. The devotion also can be said to be sakama bhaktihi and nishkama bhaktihi. When do we call bhakti a sakama bhaktihi? When do we call bhaktihi a nishkama bhaktihi? Whatever a person, if a person lives a life of karma yoga, he is worshipful and he is prayerful, he seeks Bhagavan's grace for accomplishing artha, kama, dharma, moksha, anything, but still his ultimate goal is jnanam and moksha. And he does everything in order to prepare his mind for jnanam, then his devotion becomes nishkama bhaktihi. But without having purushartha nischeha, without being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, and without knowing the importance of preparing one's mind for jnanam, if a person still is worshipful and prayerful, and he feels like dharma, but still he is devoted to Bhagavan, and his devotion is what? Sakama bhaktihi. But any bhakti is good, because sakama bhaktihi in due course of time will help one discover desire for jnanam and moksha. Therefore, bhakti is always important. Sakama bhakti in due course of time will help one discover nishkama bhaktihi. So, sakama bhaktihi, no, without nishkama bhaktihi will be incomplete devotion. And the nishkama bhaktihi without sakama bhaktihi will be impossible. One has to seek Bhagavan's grace for the fulfillment of everything that one needs. One needs to seek Bhagavan's grace for time-bound ends also, because one needs to live this life. But at the same time, one, without getting stuck with this time-bound ends alone, a person also discovers the importance of knowledge and becomes committed to the pursuit of knowledge. If a person understands the most important thing is what? Importance of preparing oneself mentally for jnanam. See, mental preparation. emotional maturity, adequate maturity required for becoming absolutely mature. Okay. In terms of jnana, attainment of jnana. So, for mental preparation, to require for jnanam, if a person focuses on that, and if he is devoted to Bhagavan, and he is praying for his prayer, worship, all the duties he is doing, everything is for preparing his mind, that is, then it becomes a nishkama bhakti. Such bhakti is important for jnanam, but without sakama bhakti, nishkama bhakti will be impossible. The one has to, one may have nishkama bhakti, but in due course of time, one has to discover nishkama bhakti also. So Bhagavan discusses that in 7 verses from verse number 20 to 26. 20 to 26, he discusses sakama bhakti. Therefore, if you understand the sakama bhakti, is there any clear definition given for sakama bhakti? If you ask, we should remember if we worship Bhagavan, pray to Bhagavan, and seeking Bhagavan's grace for the knowledge of Ishvara, apara prakriti. We seek Bhagavan's grace for understanding para prakriti and apara prakriti. Para prakriti, knowledge of Bhagavan. Then it is nishkama bhakti. But if we seek only time-bound ends, arthakama dharmas come under the category of apara prakriti only. If we're interested in time-bound material ends, arthakama dharmas, we can ask for fame, name, popularity, possession, wealth, assets, etc. Nothing wrong. They all come under the category of apara prakriti only. Then it is sakama bhakti. But even then, if you seek all of them along with prayer for emotional maturity required for jnanam, the same thing becomes nishkama bhakti also. If jnanam becomes the ultimate end, then you pray for mental preparation, it becomes nishkama bhakti. Therefore, later on, from the 27th verse onwards until 30th verse, Bhagavan discusses nishkama bhakti. So you can say 20th till the 30th, in 10 verses actually, Bhagavan discusses sakama nishkama bhaktis. There he spends more more verses from 20th to 26th, he discusses sakama bhakti. 27th till the 30th, he discusses nishkama bhakti. Anyway, you remember, there is no such a thing called sakama and nishkama, really speaking. It's all question of purushartha nischayaha. The goal being moksha is very clear, the value of knowledge is understood, and being committed to the pursuit of knowledge, if a person understands the importance of preparing his mind, and he is committed to that preparing his mind, and his prayer, worship, karma yoga, dharma, everything is for preparing his mind for jnanam, his bhakti is nishkama bhakti. Without purushartha nischaya, if a person seeks Bhagavan's grace only for artha kamas, for living this life, then it is a sakama bhakti. Okay, this is discussed in, at least as long as he is a bhakta, that will take care of him in gradually in due course of time. At least somewhere he brings Bhagavan into his life. Therefore, Krishna says, any bhakta is really a punyavan. He has punyam. So with this, he ends there. This is Jnana Vijnana Yogaha. Finished. Now, we'll enter into the 8th chapter. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama. Ashtamodhyayaha. So, Akshara Brahma Yogaha. Ashtamodhyayaha. Ashtamaha Adhyayaha. Ashtamodhyayaha. 8th chapter. And the subject matter of the 8th chapter is what? Aksharam Brahma. Aksharam Brahma. When you make a compound, it becomes Akshara Brahma. See, Aksharam Brahma are two different words. Aksharam Brahma. Two different words. We make a compound word, it becomes Akshara Brahma. Akshara Brahma Yoga. Okay. Now, so Bhagavan, here, this 8th chapter, Bhagavan begins the 8th chapter presenting subject matter purely based on a further elaborate discussion, as elaborate discussion on the last two verses of the 7th chapter. You have to remember the last two verses of the 7th chapter, you have to remember now. Know why? Because 8th chapter teaching is based on the last two verses of 7th chapter. So you have to remember what are the two verses, last verse of the 7th chapter. See the 29th and the 30th verse. Jara marana mokshaya mama shrityaya tantiye. Te brahma tadviduh kritsam adhyatmam karma chakhilam. That verse, what Bhagavan say in that verse? So taking refuge in me, mam ashritya, having taken refuge in me, having resorted to me, yea, those people, jaramarana mokshaya yatanti. People who make efforts, who strive for freedom from old age and death. Jaramarana mokshaya, for the attainment of freedom from old age and death. People who are striving, who are struggling, who make efforts. And how do they make efforts? Not they make efforts independently, ignoring Bhagavan, totally surrendering themselves to me. So having taken refuge in me, having resorted to me, those people who make efforts for the attainment of moksha from bondage of death and old age, and such people, te kritsnam brahma tad brahma viduhu. They were not definitely, they understand, they will come to know, they do come to know Brahman, up real Brahman. What of kritsnam brahma? Totally. They will understand Brahma totally, completely, without any doubt, they understand Brahma. They, such people, Kritsnam Brahma Viduhu, they will understand Brahman totally, completely. And then what now? Then Adhyatmam Karmacha Akhilam. Not only they'll understand Brahman totally, they also understand what? Adhyatmam. They'll understand the very self totally. They understand the individual self totally. Understand Brahman, the absolute reality completely. They'll also understand karma totally, completely. Akhilam karma, adhyatmam krishnam, brahma krishnam. Okay? Krishnam brahma tad viduhu, tad krishnam brahma te viduhu. They understand totally Brahman. They understand completely all the self. They understand karma also completely. Who? People who make efforts for attainment of moksha. Because attainment of moksha itself is what? Attainment of knowledge of Brahma. Attainment of knowledge of Brahman is what? Attainment of knowledge of the self. Once you understand what, how the self is Brahma, they understand the oneness of the truth of the individual and the total, Ishvara and Jiva, of course, karma also will become understood totally. The Bhagavan says in 29th verse. Then the 30th verse, if you see, I'm repeating it today because it's introduction to 8th chapter. Sadhi bhotadi daivam mam, sadhi yagyam cha ye viduhu, prayana kale picha mam, te vidur yuk. Chetasaha. No? Sadhi bhutadhi daivam mam, sadhi yagyam cha ye viduhu, prayana kale picha mam, te vidur yukta chetasaha. So Bhagavan makes it clear in this verse again. So yukta chetasaha te. Yukta chetas, I told you many times. Yukta means integrated. Chetas means mind. And integrated minded. People of integrity. People of integrated mind. And people who are disciplined minded. People who are endowed with the integrated mind or disciplined mind or integrated. Whose thought, word and deed are in alignment, disciplined minded people are called yukta chetasaha. So those people, no, they, what do they understand? Ye viduhu, they understand mom, sadhi bhutadhi daivam. They, those people who understand me, along with Adibhutam and Adidaivam. Along with Adibhutam, Adidaivam means what? We'll see that, okay? Along with Adibhutam, along with Adidaivam, those who understand me. And also, Sadhiyagyam, Sa Adhiyagyam, Sa Adibhutam, Sa Adidaivam, Sa Adhiyagyam. Those who understand Mam Ye Viduhu. Bhagavan says, Te yukta chetasaha ye mam viduhu, those integrated minded, disciplined minded people who understand me along with adhibhutam, along with adhidaivam, along with adhiyagnya, you know, such people, no, they will remember me forever. Te mam prayana kale api cha. Prayana kale apicha viduhu. It means those ones who understand Bhagavan, they will remember the Lord even at the time of death. If you understand, you can remember the Lord even at the time of death. If you don't understand Bhagavan, you cannot remember the Lord any time. And where's the question of remembering Bhagavan at the time of death? Isn't it? One must understand the Ishvara to remember Ishvara at the time of death also. Without having understood the Ishvara, you may not remember Bhagavan any time. Definitely at the time of death, remembering Bhagavan is difficult. It is not possible. So Bhagavan, but he is talking about those disciplined minded, yukta chetasaha, and those people who understand, mam ye viduhu, who understand me, not only me, along with adibhutam, along with the daivam, along with yajna, understand everything, and those people at the time of death remember me alone. It is what he says, last two verses. And based on these two verses alone, Bhagavan Krishna is going to talk, begin his teaching in this 8th chapter. Okay, now Akshara Brahma. In fact, 8th chapter is the chapter which is read when somebody passes away or somebody passed away also. Because definitely what happens to the individual jiva, you know, after death? If people want to know, we can understand all those things we can understand here in this chapter. Okay, let me tell you now. So, Akshara Brahma Yogaha. As I said, the word Yogaha should not be taken as something yoga, anything. Here, every time it comes as the topic, it only means subject matter. The topic, the word yoga, the title means only the topic. Aksharam Brahma is the topic of this 8th chapter. Therefore, it's called Akshara Brahma Yogaha is the title. So, as I said, subject matter of this 8th chapter will be based on this last two verses of 7th chapter. There, Bhagavan actually mentioned the technical expressions. But he, in the 7th chapter, Bhagavan did not explain what those technical expressions were. He simply mentioned the technical terms, but he did not explain those words to Arjuna. What are those words? Please listen to me carefully. Brahma. Brahma ye viduhu. There he mentioned the word Brahma. Then Akhilam Karma, he mentioned. There they expressed the word Karma. Brahma, Karma. Then Adhyatmam. You also mentioned Adhyatmam. Then Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam, Adhiyajnam. Please listen here. There are 6 words Bhagavan mentioned. In the end of this last 2 verses of 7th chapter, Krishna mentioned 6 words, 6 terms. And those 6 terms are actually Vedantic technical terms. And Krishna mentioned those words. Did he explain? No. He did not explain. The chapter itself ended when he mentioned those words. Of course, we saw the meanings, but Krishna remembers definitely. He mentioned those technical terms, but he has not yet explained those words to Arjuna. 6 words, remember. Brahma, Akhilam Karma, Adhi Adhyatmam, Adhibhutam, Adhidaivam, Adhiyajnam. These are the 6 expressions Krishna mentioned in those last 2 verses. Then, Bhagavan, what did he do afterwards? And who he talked about how people remember the Lord at the time of death. Prayana kale picha mam viduhu. Krishna mentioned that the disciplined minded people who understand Bhagavan, understand Ishvara, the Lord, along with all these aspects. Now remember the Lord at the time of death, he mentioned that. Which means, so Arjuna, now when Bhagavan mentions that people who understand me along with these factors remember me at the time of death when Krishna mentioned, naturally it must result in the mind of Arjuna, not in Arjuna's mind, in all our minds, what? Some question. It must give rise to a question. Now, what is the question Bhagavan should rise in our minds? What question should have risen in Arjuna's mind? What question should rise in all of our minds? Bhagavan Krishna is talking about the remembering Ishvara at the time of death. Why is he why is Bhagavan mentioning that, mentioning, remembering Bhagavan at the time of death? Why is he talking about Ishvara Bhagavat Smaranam? Why is Krishna talking about Bhagavat Smaranam at the time of death? Prayana Kale Bhagavat Smaranam. Bhagavat Smarana Vishaye Krishna Kimartam Vadati. Why does Bhagavan talk about or mention remembering Bhagavan at the time of death? When Bhagavan mentions that remembering Lord at the time of death, definitely remembering Lord at the time of death is very important. It is very significant. Remembering Bhagavan at the time of death is important and significant. Therefore, when this Arjuna was sharp enough, intelligent enough to understand, to really pay attention to this particular thing, that Krishna mentions remembering the Lord at the time of death, therefore it must be very important, it must be significant also. And when Arjuna understood this, and Arjuna had questions. Okay, therefore Arjuna's questions are based on his understanding of the significance and the importance of remembering Bhagavan at the time of death. Okay, 8th chapter, Arjuna is going to ask questions. Arjuna's question, before he used to ask always doubts. No, which is better, Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, Sannyasa or Grihastashrama life, he was asking. Now he doesn't ask all those questions. Now he's, I have heard so many, 6 chapters, 7 chapters are over. So now, Arjuna's question are what now? Arjuna's questions are based on his understanding of the importance and the significance of remembering Bhagavan at the time of death, because Krishna mentioned it. He's going to ask questions. What are the questions he's going to ask now? Actually, not one question. Arjuna actually has 6 questions. Okay, and the 6 questions are based on the 6 terms Krishna mentioned in the previous chapter, end of the previous chapter. Those technical expressions Krishna mentioned, the end of the 6th, 7th chapter, and Arjuna's 6 questions are based on those questions are actually pertaining to those 6 technical expressions. And then after the 6 questions, and finally he'll ask one more question about the significance or the importance of remembering the Lord at the time of death. Therefore, in Bhagavan Krishna answers these 7 questions in this 8th chapter. So the whole of 8th chapter consists of answers for 7 questions of Arjuna. When Krishna answers these 7 questions, he also introduces a discipline of meditation. So meditation, not as the Nirguna Brahma Upasana, but meditation as a mental activity, as a pre-preparatory discipline for the attainment of Jnanam. Krishna introduces here, when as an answer in answering these 7 questions. And the meditation here is what object of meditation is Sagunam Brahma or Saguna Ishwaraha. For Saguna Brahma Upasanam or Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam is the topic discussed here. One of the important aspects discussed in this chapter. So which is actually the Saguna Ishwara Dhyanam, the meditation as a preparatory discipline is discussed from in all the six chapters from 7th to the 12th. Which means the importance of meditation upon the Lord with attributes as a preparatory discipline. And nowhere Krishna says, practice of meditation will remove ignorance. Practice of meditation will not remove ignorance. Practice of meditation cannot bless one with the knowledge. Practice of ignorance will not free one from bondage. Meditation practiced before the attainment of knowledge is only for steadying the unsteady mind. So that discipline Krishna introduces here. In the, actually it started from 7th chapter, but it's going to be discussing this in all 6 chapters. Okay. You know, in the very beginning, Bhagavan actually discussed Karma Yoga, the discipline of Karma Yoga, living a life of Karma Yoga as a discipline, as a means of preparing the mind for knowledge, for especially for mental purification. But here, this upasanam, the Saguna Brahma upasanam, the meditation is discussed here in this second set of six chapters as a discipline for steadying the unsteady, restless mind. Okay. With this understanding, now we have to begin reading the verses. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Om Shri Paramatmane Namaha. Akshara Brahma Yogo Nama. Ashtamodhyayah. Arjuna Uvacha. Arjuna is asking now, okay? Arjuna Uvacha. Kim tad brahma, kim tad brahma, kimadhyatmam, kimadhyatmam, kim karma purushottama, kim karma purushottama, adhibhotan cha kim proktam, Adhibhotan cha kim proktam, adhidaivam kimochyate, adhidaivam kimochyate, kim tad brahma kimadhyatmam, kim karma purushottama, adhibhotan cha kim proktam, Adhidaivam kimuchyate. So the first verse of 8th chapter begins with a question from Arjuna, and he's asking these questions. Why he's asking? Well, he heard all these words in the previous chapter. They were not explained, they're only mentioned. Now, Arjuna asked, Kim tad brahma? What is that Brahman? Kim Adhyatmam? What do you mean by Adhyatmam? What is Adhyatmam? Little meaning first. Kim Karma? What is Karma? Adhibhutam cha Kim? What do you mean by Adhibhutam? What is Adhibhutam? Then அதிதெய்வம் கிம் உச்சத்தே. கிம் அதிதெய்வம் உச்சத்தே, வாட் இஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் நோன் ஆஸ் அதிதெய்வம், வாட் இஸ் தட் விச் இஸ் செட் டு பி அதிதெய்வம். So he is addressing, hey purushottama, purusheshu uttamaha, purushanam uttamaha, purushottamaha, oh most exalted among all the beings, most exalted of all the beings, hey purushottama, oh lord, what are these? He is asking these questions. How many questions are there? Brahma kim, adhyatmam kim, karma kim, அதிபூதம் கிம், அதிபூதம் புரோக்தம், பிரம்ம கிம், அத்யாத்மம் கிம், கர்ம கிம், அதிபூதம் கிம், அதிதெய்வம் கிம். சோ ஃபைவ் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் ஆஸ்க் இன் திஸ் ஒன் வர்ஸ். ஓகே, த நெக்ஸ்ட் வர்ஸ் ஹில் ஆஸ்க் ரெஸ்ட். ஃபைவ் க்வெஸ்சன்ஸ் ஆர் ஆஸ்க் இன் திஸ் வர்ஸ். ஓகே, நோ As I said earlier, Arjuna wants to know what is Brahma, what is Adhyatmam. So all these words were used where in the previous two verses. Therefore, Arjuna is asking these questions. Now, what is when Krishna will answer these questions, we will also know the answer along with Arjuna. Okay. Let us go to the next verse.
Adiyajnyah katham kotra dehesmin madhusudana. Adiyajnyah katham kotra dehesmin madhusudana. Prayana kale chak katham. பிரயாணகாலேச்சகதம் ஜேயோசி நியதாத்மபிஹ.
Now he's asking next sixth question. ஹே மதுசூதன, ஓ கிருஷ்ணா, தேஹே அஸ்மின் தேஹே கஹ அதியஜ்ஞஹ, கஹ அதியஜ்ஞஹ. Earlier he asked கிம் கிம் கிம், because கிம், why he asked கிம், because all those words were neuter gender words. பிரம்ம கிம், அத்யாத்மம் கிம், அதிதெய்வம் கிம். He asked the question, he used the term கிம் to mean what, because they're all neuter gender words. Now யஜ்ஞஹ is the masculine gender word. Therefore, he is using the question word kaha, not kim. Adiyajnaha kaha. What is adiyajnaha? And then, katham, adiyajnaha katham. No, how does... So, katham adiyajnaha means, how does the adiyajna remain in this body? And what is that adiyajnaha in this body? What is adiyajna? How does the adiyajna remain in the body? One question. Okay, sixth question. Actually, there's a 2A and B of sixth question. Then seventh question. Hey Krishna, niyata atma bihi prayana kale katham gneyaha asi. How are you remembered by the disciplined people? Mentally disciplined people, disciplined minded. How are you known? How are you remembered at the time of death by people who are disciplined minded? So Bhagavan makes it very clear. Disciplined minded alone can remember the Lord. Disciplined minded alone can remember the Lord at the time of death. Others cannot remember the Lord. So, he says, niyata atma means disciplined minded person is called niyata atma. Niyata atma bihi, by the disciplined minded people how you are remembered, how you are kept in mind. Prayana kale api. So indisciplined minded people, indisciplined cannot remember Bhagavan at all. Disciplined minded alone can remember, but how you are remembered by the disciplined minded at the time of death. So prayana kale niyata atmabihi katam jneyaha asi. How are you remembered? This is the seventh question. The sixth question has what? A and B. Subdivisions. What is adiyajnaha? How adiyajna remain in this body? So how people remember you at the time of death? Totally seven questions he put in two verses. Okay. Adiyajnaha. The questions are over. You have to only see the answer now. See, Arjuna is addressing Krishna here as a Madhusudana. Pahir Purushottama. Now he is Madhusudana. So, this we saw in the very beginning of second chapter. We have seen the meaning. Madhusudanaha. You know. So, Madhu literally is always, in Puranas, they say Madhu is the name of a demon. And Bhagavan, Krishna, destroyed this demon called Madhu. The destroyer of the demon Madhu is called Madhusudanaha. It's a literal, this is the meaning actually we understand from Puranas. But actually, the Madhu also means, Madhu means sweet, honey. And the sweetness stands for Ahankara. So Madhusudanaha means the one in the wake of knowledge of whom Ahankara will resolve. If a destroyer of Ahankara, that is one meaning. And Madhu also means all actions which are products of ignorance. Okay. If you see the standpoint of Shastram, if you look at it symbolically, Madhu is a word which means all karmas. That's why Madhu is also karma. Madhu also means karma phalam, which is desirable. So, if we understand Madhu as karma, then Madhusudanaha means the one who destroys all karmas. Karma means karma phalam. What karma phalam? Sanchitam karma phalam. Prarabdha karma phalam. Agami karma phalam. One who frees us from the bondage of all karma. One who destroys all karma. How? By blessing us with the knowledge. Thereby by blessing us with the right perception of the self. But helping us resolve the wrong notions that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, etc. Bhagavan actually destroys our karma. Or destroyer of the karma. So karma, not simply action. You say karma, karma phalam. So Madhu also means karma phalam. Therefore, Sanchita Agami Parabdha Karma Pala Nashakaha. That is the meaning of Madhusudanaha. Another meaning. So, hey Madhusudana, Karma Pala Nashaka, that's the meaning. Okay. And Arjuna here addresses and he also asks these questions. So, This is the first chapter. This is the chapter which begins with many questions. Not one or two questions, isn't it? Many questions are there. Seven questions. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Aksharam Brahma Paramam.
அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம பரமம் ஸ்வபாவோத்யாத்மமுச்யதே ஸ்வபாவோத்யாத்மமுச்யதே பூத பாவோத்பவகரஹ விஸர்கஹ கர்ம ஸம்ஹிதஹ பூத பாவோத்பவகரஹ விஸர்கஹ கர்ம ஸம்ஹிதஹ.
The first two verses, nothing much to understand. We only understand what are the questions asked, why those questions are asked. That's all we can understand. And specifically, we need to understand the meaning of the word Madhusudana here. Remember two meanings for Madhu. One is Ahankara, another one is Karmaphala. So Bhagavan is destroyer of both. Okay. Now, here onwards, we'll be seeing every word carefully, elaborately, because the Bhagavan is going to explain everything now.
Akshri Bhagavanu Vacha அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம பரமம் அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம பரமம் ஸ்வபாவோத்யாத்மமுச்யதே ஸ்வபாவோத்யாத்மமுச்யதே பூத பாவோத்பவகரஹ பூத பாவோத்பவகரஹ விஸர்கஹ கர்ம சம்ஞிதஹ விஸர்கஹ கர்ம சம்ஞிதஹ பூத பாவோத்பவகரஹ விஸர்கஹ கர்ம சம்ஞிதஹ.
So here Bhagavan said, first let us see the literal meaning here. அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம பரமம் பிரம்ம அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம கிம் தத் பிரம்ம த ஆன்சர் இஸ் வாட் அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம அக்ஷரம் பரமம் ஒன் வேர்ட் ஆன்சர் பைனரி ஆன்சர் கிம் தத் பிரம்ம அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம சோ அக்ஷரம் பிரம்ம வாட் தி பரமம் பரமம் மீன்ஸ் தி மோஸ்ட் எக்ஸால்டட் தி கிரேட் தி சுப்ரீம் கேன் சே ஆல் தீஸ் வேர்ட் பரமம் தி எக்ஸால்டட் There's nothing greater, bigger, more exalted than Brahma. Therefore, it said Paramam, the absolute, most exalted is what? Reality is implied by the word Brahma. And what is its Swarupam? First thing I said, Aksharam. Aksharam means imperishable. The most, the exalted, imperishable, absolute reality is implied by the term Brahma. Then, what is Adhyatmam? Swabhavaha Adhyatmam Uchyate. See, we are going to see the meaning of each word again, we'll see it. Actually, now what is the literal meaning? Swabhavaha Adhyatmam Uchyate. So, adhyatmam means swabhavaha. Swabhavaha here means one's own swarupam, one's own self. So, adhyatmam means swabhavaha. Swabhavaha means swarupam. Swarupam here means the self. Swabhavaha, swarupam, which means the self. So, adhyatmam, the self, one's own real nature, the self is known as, said to be adhyatmam. Next, what is karma? Krishna answers only three questions in this verse. Okay, Arjuna finished asking seven questions in two verses. But Krishna answers only three questions in this verse. What is karma? Kim karma? He says, Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha karma
samgitah.
It's a beautiful definition. What is karma? We have to only quote Krishna's definition of karma. What is karma? He says, bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha karma samgitah. Samgitah means what? Known. Or known, said to be. What is said to be? What is known as karma? Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha. So that which, we can say, udbhava karaha means udbhava kara, udbhavam karoti, karayati. Udbhava karaha means that which causes the birth. That which causes the birth, or that which brings about the origin, that which causes the birth or the origin of beings, bhutanam bhava udbhava karaha. So bhuta bhava udbhava karaha means that which brings about the origin of beings, that which causes the birth or creation of beings, that which causes the origin, birth of beings. Bhuta bhava bhava karaha. So what causes the birth of the individuals? Why are we born here? Who determined our birth? Why are we born here? Why do we have the so-called our own parents? Who determined this? Prarabdha karma. Okay. So he says, first introduces, karma is that which causes the origin of beings. Now hereafter we can remain shut our mouths. We will not question why am I born here? Why Bhagavan made me here? No. Bhagavan does not make you. Did not push you as a sadist. What caused your birth is karma. Okay. Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha. Know why? We have punyam and papam. We have earned by our right and wrong actions, knowingly or unknowingly. And we had, it's like what? No, some you should say. We save money and go to one day to a carnival to spend money. You know why? Go from morning, you eat, spend. We have earned money, save money, go and spend money. Like that, every time we have saved some, we have some deposits, account deposit, and we come here to spend them. Therefore, bhuta bhava udbhava karaha. So karma is that which causes the origin. It causes the birth. It brings about the birth of beings. So only Bhagavan answers only three questions. He goes very slowly, okay? Arjuna was very fast. Bhagavan is very slow. Okay, now we'll see that. So, what is the first question? Kim tad brahma aksharam paramam brahma. First Krishna said, no? For here, paramam aksharam brahma. We have to be very careful. Na ksharati iti aksharam. Ksharati means perishes. Na ksharati means does not perish. So na aksharam is what? That which does not perish. But imperishable is the word which qualifies Brahma, isn't it? Which means paramam, the exalted, then also indestructible, imperishable is Brahma. So now the question comes, Krishna, why did he not simply say only one? Kim tad Brahma, Arjuna asked. He repeats same thing here, but what he adds as an answer, aksham, imperishable is reality. What is reality? What is Brahma? Imperishable is the reality. Therefore, so he says, not only it is aksharam, also paramam. It is the absolute. It is the greatest, exalted. So, we should not take it as an ordinary thing. It is the greatest thing. Okay? What is imperishable? What is that which is not subject to destruction? We can understand everything in this universe is subject to get perished. Time, space, all the forms, names and functions which exist in the realm of time and space, your body, your mind, your thoughts, your pranas, your physiological functions, entire objective universe, everything is subject to get perished. Only one thing which is imperishable, and that is imperishable, is the absolute reality implied by the term Brahma, and that reality is the only all-pervasive consciousness. Okay? The consciousness paraprakritihi of Ishvara, the higher nature of Ishvara, paraprakritihi, the consciousness aspect of Ishvara, is absolutely the only imperishable reality. And apart from paraprakriti, what else is there? Aparaprakriti, there's a third prakriti. The whole, all that is here is Ishvara. Therefore, all that is here is only para and apara prakritis. All these two prakritis, para prakriti consciousness is the exalted imperishable implied by the term Brahma. Then what about the apara prakriti, the matter? Apara prakriti of Ishvara, always called matter, is of the nature of undergoing changes. It is subject to get perished, subject to decay. It is why we can understand our physical body, all the physical forms of living and non-living things are subject to decay, subject to get perished, subject to, destruction. And not only that, once in a while, every fraction of second, there's a constant, continuous, consistent change happening on the part of everything. We do not notice that. We cannot really see that. Therefore, see, apara prakriti, consciousness is imperishable. That's why it is para. And apara prakriti is subject to perish. That's why it is apara. It is inferior. Therefore, now it's understood that is what is implied by the term Brahma. And here we have to understand, okay, Bhagavan's, even though Arjuna asked the question, Arjuna also asked the question, Kim Tad Brahma? The first question is about Brahma. Arjuna's first question is about Brahma. And Bhagavan Krishna's answer also begins with an answer for that first question as Aksharam Brahma. Therefore, the entire chapter itself is given the title as what? Akshara Brahma Yogaha. Why this chapter is called Akshara Brahma Yogaha? If you ask, because Arjuna's question is about Brahma and Bhagavan Krishna's answer, first answer begins with an expression Aksharam Brahma. Aksharam as an answer for what is Brahma. Therefore, the chapter itself is given this title Akshara Brahma Yogaha. Therefore, Paramam Aksharam Brahma. With this little meaning, we'll still continue. The following was Krishna's going to see. Bhagavan Krishna gives a brief answer here. Then he's going to elaborate on these answers. The whole 8th chapter is going to be elaboration of Krishna's answers for these 7 questions. Okay. Arjuna asks the question finished. And Krishna first gives simple answers. Then he elaborates his own answers in the whole chapter, which form the 8th chapter. Now, what is now adhyatmam kim was second question, and Krishna said swabhavaha. Only one word. Adhyatmam kim swabhavaha. Swabhavaha is said to be adhyatmam. Swabhavaha means what? Swabhavaha means swarupam. Swarupam means what? Self. The one essential nature of one's own self. This self is swabhavaha. Now, what is a self? Again, you understand, we say this Ishvara's, the para prakriti of Ishvara, the pure consciousness, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, now alone obtains in every, within every individual being as the innermost essence, as the very self. Therefore, it must be very clear. Adhyatmam means the self, and the self is essential nature of an individual. Therefore, the all-pervasive consciousness, Brahma, obtaining within the every individual body as the innermost essence alone is known by another expression, Atma or Adhyatmam. Adhyatmam. Okay, Adhyatmam means Atma. Atma means what? The consciousness, all pervasive consciousness obtaining as an individual truth of an individual is known by another term, Adhyatmam. But here, we'll be very careful. In this expression, Adhyatmam, there are two words, Adhi and Atmam. It's one word, it's made an Atma, it's not Atma. Adhyatmam. It's a neuter gender word. So here the word, in this expression Adhyatmam, the Atma does not mean consciousness. Please be very careful. The word, in this expression Adhyatmam, the word Atma means the physical body. Or you can say the physical body. Dehaha. The word Atma means Dehaha Shariram. And Adhi plus Atma, Adhyatmam. Adhi plus Atma and Sandhi. Adhyatmam means that which is pertaining to the body, or that which obtains within the body is called Adhyatmam. Okay, that which obtains within everybody's body is Adhyatmam, that is self. That self is what? Consciousness. For the all-pervasive consciousness, Brahma, Paraprakriti, obtaining within an individual body is known by this expression, Adhyatmam, the self. Therefore, the same one and the only absolute reality, imperishable reality, consciousness, the paraprakriti of Ishvara, seen as the only all-pervasive truth, it is implied by the term Brahma. The same consciousness understood as the essential nature of an individual, it is known by the term Adhyatmam. So Adhyatmam and Brahma are two different expressions meaning the same consciousness. Consciousness is the all-pervasive only reality is implied by the term Brahma. Consciousness, all-pervasive reality obtaining as the truth of the individual is known by the term Adhyatmam. So Adhyatmam also answered. Therefore, Brahma stands for Samashti Satvam, Samashti Satyam, and Adhyatmadvar Vyashti Satyam. Vyashti Swarupam Adhyatmam, Samashti Swarupam Brahma, they are one and the same. Therefore, the expression Swabhavaha means Swarupam. Swarupam means what? Inner, intrinsic, essential, innermost essence, the nature, essential nature. Therefore, we can say the absolute, the reality implied by the term Brahma can be looked upon as Paramatma, and the same reality obtaining as the truth of an individual, Adhyatmam is what can is looked upon as Jivatma. Therefore, Jivatma and Paramatma are essentially one. Adhyatmam and Brahman are essentially one and the same. Therefore, how one individual playing different roles is given different titles as the manager, as the husband, as a son, daughter, son, son-in-law, etc. From one person plays different roles. Therefore, he has different names. Similarly, he is also only Paramatma, only Brahma, is given two different names from two different perspectives, two different aspect angles. As the truth of the total whole Brahma, as the truth of an individual Jiva. And that is Adhyatmam Param Brahma. Now, next question is what? Karma Kim. Third question is karma. What is the karma? Bhagavan said, Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha. Bhuta Bhava Udbhava Karaha. Bhuta Bhavodbhava Karaha Gunasandhihi. Remember this. And Visargaha. So, Visargaha actually means all forms of activities, all karma, all forms of activities are mentioned by the word Visargaha. Therefore, actions performed knowingly, actions performed unknowingly, actions performed intentionally, actions performed unintentionally, actions performed with a given motive or without motive, with any agenda, actions in conformity with dharma or transgressing dharma, all activities are mentioned by the will involved, deliberately performed. All actions are mentioned by the word, meant by the word Visargaha. And these activities alone, these actions alone become the cause for the birth, future birth, the future creation. They're not directly cause. In fact, they become nimittam. They become instrumental. They become the responsible for repeatedly being born, for future karma, for future life, future creation. Therefore, what does our shastram say? All of our Veda shastram makes it very clear. Whatever happens in our life, every situation we go through in our life is definitely is not something which happens suddenly. What happens suddenly, it seems to be a sudden incident or accident. Really speaking, it is not some sudden incident or accident, you know, because everything is a proper incident. Nothing is happening as a suddenly happening accident. Every situation we go through in our life is actually a well-designed, well-arranged, ordained incident. And these incidents that we go through in our life are actually caused by our own Punya Papa. The Punya Papams are produced by what? Our own karma. Okay, even the human physical form we got, not a frog's form or elephant's form, because the Punya. Okay, our karma determines even our physical form which we got. Otherwise, we'll be somewhere, we will be crawling with some other body. Isn't it? We are not four-legged. We are not chatushpad, we are dvipad. We are two-legged because some punyam got us this human physical body. And to get this body, also what? Parentage. My mother and father in the stomach, in the womb, in where I assume the body before being delivered with this form. And who is the father? That is also predetermined. Amazing. You know, that is why it's all determined. The father, mother, the body, the yoni, my God, it's all determined by our own karma. The previously done unexhausted results of actions. The past karma phalam alone determines everything. Therefore, our birth itself is determined by the karma phalam. Therefore, the birth of an individual is determined by the karma of an individual. At the same time, the birth of the entire society or the entire humanity is determined by the samashti karma. Okay. The karma of the entire humanity's karma determines the birth of the entire humanity. Therefore, Bhagavan says, Bhuta bhava udbhava karaha visargaha karma samgitaha. I'm going to stop here. I have to explain a lot. We will continue next class. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.